Well, good evening, one and all, and welcome to our Wednesday meeting on the 13th of April, 2016. Welcome to those that are on the phone, those listening to the recording, and it's good to be back with you all in this midweek. And I pray that God will richly bless you with a greater understanding of His precious Word of Truth. Our opening song is Tell Me the Story of Jesus, and our dear sister Jean will offer that for us.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed His birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that He passed. How for our sins He was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of His labor, tell of the sorrow He bare. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed Him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid Him. Tell how He liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love, pay the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Amen. Precious story indeed. And thank you, dear sister. It's now time for opening prayer, and our dear sister Michelle will offer that for us now.
If we can kneel and bow our hearts and our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for today, and thank You for Your many blessings. And I pray that You will be with each and every one of us here. And please let us learn things that we haven't learned before. And I pray that You will watch over all of us in everything that we do. And I pray that You'll let us, let the storm that we're having, please let it pass and not bother the reception here so that we can get a blessing. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen, and thank you. We're in chapter 2 of Colossians, down to verse 4. And we left off talking about how in Christ was hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So if you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, then you have the treasure, that pearl of great price. You have the wisdom and knowledge of the truth. And may we indeed accept the Savior as our own. So that's where we left off, and now we pick it up at verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. So Paul here reiterates the truth that in Christ are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and that the believers need the Savior in order to tap in to this source of wisdom and true godly knowledge. And he reminded them that there's going to be individuals that will try to beguile you with enticing words, or will try to get you to believe that the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in some other source other than Christ. And the words that they're going to use, Paul says, are enticing. So they're words that will tempt you, that will try to call forth from you an interest or curiosity. And we know that in the very last days, these type of enticing, deceptive words that try to turn you away from Christ onto some other source are going to be all throughout this world. And it's not just going to be men or humanity that's going to try to do it. There's going to be all kinds of inventions to try and entice you away from Christ and to get you involved in other areas searching for this wisdom and knowledge. You have the pagan religions that are teaching that they have the only true doctrines and teachings to connect with the God within. You have the whole mystery religion of Babylon that's trying to entice you into their spiritualistic beliefs. And you have the vast majority of all the established religions and denominations out there that are trying to entice you away from Christ onto themselves. So if you think that there was a lot of deception going on in Paul's day, it's 1,000 times worse today. And it's only going to continue to increase in deceptive power. Revelation 13 tells us that all the world is going to wander after the beast. Instead of following after Christ, they're going to be beguiled into following after the beast. So Paul gives an admonition to the Colossians, and since it's in the New Testament, to each and every one of us, to beware lest any man, any church, any religion beguile you with enticing, deceptive words and lead you away from the Savior. One of the greatest avenues that you find these enticing words is on the internet. It's on the television. It's on the radio. It's in the papers. The devil is using every type of media outlet to beguile you and entice you away from Christ so that you will not have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, but you instead will have the emptiness of false and fanatical doctrine, ever searching and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Just spinning your wheels, going around in circles. And Christ is waiting with open arms, saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the light of life. He that cometh unto me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Even among the remnant, there are those that are trying to beguile and to lead away with enticing words from the straight and narrow path of truth and righteousness. If possible, even the very elect will be deceived. But the elect place their trust in God. But those who do not love the truth will be caused to believe a lie. They will be enticed and beguiled away from the truth, all because they did not love the truth. They did not prize Jesus Christ above all else. And in this world, there's only two powers. It's either Christ or the devil. It's either light or darkness. It's either truth or error. If we don't have Christ, then we have Lucifer. If we don't love the Savior, then we love Lucifer. It's the only two choices. Amen. Holding on to self will keep us from loving the truth. And amen. To have all the knowledge and truth, you must read the Bible personally. And amen. Amen. That's true. It's black and white. There is no gray area. A lot of people believe there's a gray area. They believe that gray area is Laodicea, riding the fence between two opinions. But if you refuse to make a choice for Christ, then you've already chosen for the devil. It's that plain and simple. We have a fallen, sinful human nature. If you do not choose Christ and connect with Him to overcome the tendencies of your fallen nature, then you've already lost the battle. You're already Satan's property. Amen. Why halt between two opinions? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So you're already the devil's property. Christ died to purchase you away. And now it's your decision to either stay with Lucifer or go with the Lord. What are you going to do? If you don't decide, you're already the devil's. If you do decide, then you're no longer lukewarm. You're now either cold by choosing to serve Lucifer, or you're hot, choosing to follow the Lord, and the warmth of His love and truth will bring life, energy, determination to your spiritual life, and you will indeed become active and alive in His service, walking in His truth. Amen. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. And you know, it's interesting. A lion does not roar unless he has a very good reason. He's found some prey, and he's intent on obtaining that prey for himself. So are you going to remain the prey of the devil, or are you going to choose to follow an infinitely better master, Jesus Christ? You can definitely live on the reward that Christ gives you for following Him, for choosing the truth. But you can't live on the wages that the devil gives you in following Him, because the wages of sin is death. The reward that Christ gives you is eternal life. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions before we continue?
Hello, everyone. I'd like to, you know, we're not praying just yet, but I'd just like to lift up a situation that happened when I was visiting my mother today. It's just like the enemy just came in like a flood, and a perfectly wonderful, you know, visit just went, just something, it just, I can't even hardly explain how it happened. I just, you know, and so, so, you know, it's just so bizarre, but, you know, we're fine with one another and everything, but it was just a strange occurrence. And if you would just, in your own, you know, time, just remember my mother. Her name is Margaret. And I'm going to go back and see her next Wednesday. I go every Wednesday, but it just shows me, you know, how much we have to be so careful that the enemy prowls. And I know the Lord allowed it because there were things that I needed to learn. I have to die more to self. I got my feelings hurt about something she said, and I started to kind of cry. And you know, it just, anyway, she didn't understand, and it was just, it kind of went just like that. So I need to toughen up. I need to endure all things a little bit better. So I appreciate your prayers for me, but more so for me to grow, and for her to just, God to work in her heart somehow through it. I feel His mercy in this in some way. I do. And thank you.
We will do so, dear sister, and praise God for giving us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He just does not lead and guide us into all truth. He just does not point out our sins and lead us in the path of righteousness. But He comforts us as well. So praise the Lord.
Good evening, everyone, and I agree, Sister Teresa. I don't know, the other night, I was reading a vision that Sister White had. It's about traveling this narrow road, and It lets us know all the things that we have to let go, like the wagon and, you know, walking in this straight and narrow path. And on the, I think on your right is the precipice, and on the left is the white smooth wall that as soon as we continue walking, we have to press upon that wall, because if we don't, we will fall. So that impressed me, and it let us know that we all have to, like, walk this walk very carefully, because if we don't, we will fall. And that goes with, like you said, praise God for even though we have to go through trials and tribulation, but it's a work that God wants to do within us, and it's building the character that He wants us to have. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Amen. And also we have the promise that God will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear, but will indeed provide a way of escape, divine power if necessary, that we might be able to bear it or endure it. And praise God that He doesn't take us from the very first steps in following Christ and puts us at the very last steps in following Christ. Because none of us would be able to endure the very last steps. Our faith hasn't grown to that point. We're still back at the beginning. So God takes us step by step, here a little and there a little, all the way along the way of the straight and narrow path, so that we can grow. And each victory that we gain through Christ will enable us to endure a greater test of faith, so that when we finally make it to the last steps in following Christ, our faith and hope and trust in the Savior is so gigantically huge. We're settled into the faith. Our feet are firmly anchored to the rock, Christ Jesus, that we're not going to deny Him, regardless of the cost. So praise God for allowing us to grow in grace, adding to our faith, until we finally have crossed the finish line and are forevermore with our Savior. But yeah, there's going to be pain. There's going to be heartache. And some of the hardest trials to endure is when your friends and loved ones say things that hurt you or taunt you. That's some of the hardest to endure. Peer pressure. But it is a trial, a test. And through Christ, we can endure. It's still going to hurt. But no matter what the pain, the Savior has bore so much more than we could ever bear. And if He in humanity could bear it, then that is proof that we can bear it in His strength.
I was thinking along those lines that when you get your feelings hurt by your friends and it seems like the whole world is on your back, the place that really gives you rest and comfort is this room, because you're here with family that all thinks the same, and we're all for each other, and we all love God. What a comfort this room is. God provided this for us. Thank you, Lord.
When Sister Jones say that, a song pop up in my mind, and it says, "You got to have faith, love, and charity. That's the way to live successfully. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just be all good today. The Lord is there beside you, guiding all the way. You got to have faith, love, and charity. That's the way to live successfully. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Amen.
Amen. Amen indeed. There was a comment in the room. It says, I have a coworker that is my friend one moment, and the next she's yelling at me. And there was a somewhat similar experience when I was working at a job that my dad worked at. And there was a particular coworker there that he was mean, and he'd say really mean things. And he was a little bit overweight, but, I mean, not too much. And I was only there about 6 months, and then I went off to college. But my dad told me a couple years later that he had a checkup, and the doctor found that he was diabetic and got his blood sugar straightened out. And he says he was like a completely different person. He was mild. He was friendly. He, you know, just like a completely different person. So that may be what's going on with this about face type experience with your coworker there. But anyways, praise God indeed for allowing us to have this ability to fellowship one with another, even though we're isolated all across the world. Praise God indeed for allowing us to come and fellowship and to edify one another and to encourage and help one another in this warfare against sin and the devil, against spiritual wickedness in high and low places, from sources that you may never expect. The devil can work upon their hearts and use them without their knowledge to come against you. I mean, look at Peter. Peter came to Christ and said, no, Lord, no, you're not going on the cross. That's not for you. But the devil was using Peter, and Peter didn't even know it. But praise God that we have brothers and sisters in the faith. And praise God immensely for allowing us to have Jesus as a personal companion and Savior so that we're never alone. The Holy Spirit brings Christ and the Father to our side. So even though we may be completely bereft of all friends and loved ones, anyone that believes the same present truth that we do, even though we may be standing all alone in our vicinity, yet we're not alone. With the Godhead by our side, we're in the vast majority. Even though we may be a minority, a very small minority in this wicked world of some 6 or 7 billion people, yet with the Godhead by our side and all the unfallen worlds in union with Him, we're in the vast majority. But that takes faith to realize that. That takes living faith to take comfort in that. And praise God that neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, sickness, trials, suffering, persecution, oppression, none of this can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God indeed. But dear ones, are there any other thoughts, any other comments, any other questions, any other testimonies or requests that you might have before we open it up to a season of prayer? And please feel free.
Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you, Brother Bob, for the books. I gave it to, I don't know if you, anyone remember that, there was a secretary, so he just became a minister, and he was reading one of the books, which is Dead in Hell, and he realized that this book is good to give out. So I gave him half of the box because I wanted to give it out to some other people. And another thing too, there was one time that I, mentioned that when I was going to North Carolina, I met a bishop. It was a Seventh-day Adventist bishop, and I used to like always talk about the Bible. But then I don't know what happened that we stopped hearing from him. And I don't know, it was like this week I was just saying, let me call him. So when I called him, he had just got two heart attacks, and he's doing a little better. So I'm so glad to hear when the Lord is, you know, when he's starting to call somebody. When every time I notice that, every time when I'm thinking about somebody, I will pray for them or I will try to get in touch with them. So I'm glad that I did. So I just want you to please pray for him and also pray for Brother Sean because he's still got that cold too. Thank you.
Amen. We'll indeed keep him in prayer. And the Lord's trying to wake him up. Two heart attacks, and yet he's still alive. And then impressing you to call him and communicate with him. So, indeed, the Lord is working for his soul. And we'll keep him in prayer. And also, praise the Lord for that young minister, for being excited about the booklet. And I pray that God will indeed go before and open hearts to receive the material from his hands. And praise the Lord indeed. Well, before we open it up to a season of prayer, I have a praise the Lord that I want to bring forth. I was loading some wood into the back of our car early this morning, and it wasn't light outside, but it was to the point that you could see with a light on at a distance. So it was like the sun was peaking above the horizon, but the mountains where we are was keeping it from actually showing. So the twilight of the morning, I guess you could say it. So I could see where the wood pile was, but I could not see anything that was on the wood. But anyway, so I was picking it up from the pile and transferring it to the back of the car, and I think I transferred maybe 20 pieces or so and didn't think anything of it. But when I was unloading it several hours later, when I got the wood out, here was a black scorpion on the bottom of the car, right? On the bottom of the wood. So that means that when I was carrying that wood, I carried that black scorpion along with it to the car. And the Lord did not allow me to get bit. So I just want to praise his name for protecting me. Twice, actually, because I took the wood. I put the wood into the car with the scorpion there, and I took the wood out with the scorpion there, but the scorpion ended up staying there in the car. And when I came back, I saw it. I said, woo, look at that. Thank you, Lord. So praise his name. The scorpion isn't deadly, but it would have been a painful bite. But I just want to praise God for his divine protection and watchful care.
The computer shut down a little bit, but I didn't hear. Is that happened lately?
Hello? Hi, let me just keep coming in up. I just want to ask one question. Isn't Term Bishop represented by a Catholic clergy? Isn't it a bit weird that the SEA has a bishop? It's just a question.
Oh, indeed. That's following in the pathway of the fallen Babylonian churches, because they commonly have bishops as part of their hierarchical, ecclesiastical organization. So indeed, and Christ is the individual that we look up to. He is indeed the one in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so all of these particular titles of increasing levels of authority within the denominations, including Adventism, is not something that we need. All ye are brethren. And so there doesn't need to be these escalating levels of authority of humanity over humanity. So indeed, that is very strange. In fact, I didn't even know that there was bishops within the Adventist system until Sister Sheila mentioned that she was talking to one of them. And she just now mentioned again that she communicated with him. So that's very strange indeed. But Sister Sheila, we didn't hear your question before you got booted out of the room. So could you please repeat that?
No, I just heard a little part that the scorpion part that you was mentioning. I just wanted to know if that was lately or that was long time ago.
That was actually this morning. So I just, again, want to praise God for his divine protection. Because I couldn't see it. You know, being that dark, I could see where the wood pile was, and I could see where the wood was stacked, and I just grabbed, I think it was 4 or 5 armfuls of the wood, and then put it in the back of the car, and then unloaded it, and come to find out there's a scorpion on the bottom. So, praise God.
I'm going to see if my internet will let me. I got this. No weapon form against man shall prosper. No, it won't burn. Say no weapon form against man. God will do what he says he will do. He will stand by his word and he will come for you. God will do what he says he will do. He will stand by his word and he will come for you. God will stand by his word, he will come through. No weapon formed against man shall prosper. No it won't burn. Say no weapon formed against man shall prosper. No it won't burn.
Amen. Amen. And thank you for your perseverance in getting that song completed. Thank you so much. It's a beautiful song, Isaiah 54:17. And thank you for your patience there. Oh, I hope your internet connection becomes more stable here. And won't continue to lag you out.
Ever be free from the ever-bending at the hands of my enemies. I will stand my ground with the Lord on my side. Because of what says they will not, they not succeed. And yes, every no rest of time. Oh, make it sad. Child got burned, no hope. It won't burn. Say no weapon. Oh, make it sad. Child got burned, no hope. It won't burn. Do me the rain for the effort, the fire day. Do, 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 do.
Amen. Well, dear ones, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And I'll go ahead and start. And whoever else would like to pray, please feel free. So let's go ahead and bow our heads and, if possible, our knees. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for thy tender love, for thy merciful compassion and watchful care. Thank you for being our divine protector. And thank you, Father, for so many times protecting us, even though we may not recognize your divine intervention in our lives. We thank you, Father, for watching over us as a tender, loving Father. I pray that you will continue to speed and spread thy truth around the world. Continue to allow the truth to take hold of hearts and deliver them through the love, sacrifice, blood, merits, and righteousness of our Savior. That they can escape from destruction, from Babylon, and into thy kingdom of righteousness and truth. Thank you so much, dear Father, that indeed this world is being lightened with your glory, with the true knowledge of salvation. And every decision will soon be made, either for or against the Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray for and not against. Father, I pray that you will continue to lead and guide thy people ever higher in the walk of righteousness, the path that is straight, narrow, and upward. Continue to help us to build the union and co-partnership with Christ to such a point that we would rather die than commit sin. We would rather sacrifice everything than to hurt and bring pain to our Savior. And thank you, Father, for taking us step by step, in measure, and only allowing the trials and tribulations to come our way each day, that you know, by relying upon your Son, that we can overcome through him who loved us, and thereby grow. I pray, Father, that you will continue to pour your Spirit upon us in rich abundance. And, dear Spirit, continue to work within us a dying to self in all aspects of life, and thus be able to reveal Christ more and more in all aspects of life. Help us indeed to give God glory by keeping self in control. And thank you, Savior, for the divine grace and strength to make this all possible. Dear Father, I pray that you'll be with Margaret, that you will work upon her heart, that you will prepare it, open it, soften it, and subdue it through your precious grace and merits, that the truth may spark an interest and take hold, that a curiosity will be aroused and she'll want to know more and investigate and let it take a hold in her life. And thank you so much for doing so. Please give our dear sister Teresa the words of wisdom, the discretion, and the avenue to be able to say just the right words that will reach her precious mother's heart. And please do the same with Teresa's precious husband. Open his heart and let the truth be buried deep there to be sprouted and to bring about new growth and a transformation in life and outlook. And thank you so much for doing so. And Father, please do so for all of our loved ones, our friends, family members, children, parents. Please indeed use us as an empty vessel to be filled with thy Spirit, that we might be used by him in saying just the right words or performing just the right actions to bring about salvation and to point them to the Savior. I pray, Father, that you'll continue to work within thy people a transformation that the world will take notice of and will want the same in their lives. Please bring us into unity and oneness through love, godly love for one another and for those that need to find the Savior. Help us indeed to seek and to save the lost. And thank you, Father, for seeking to save us. Please be with all those who have silent prayer requests. Be with those who have asked for prayers. And I pray, Father, that you will hear and answer their petitions according to thy perfect will in all areas, that more glory and praise may be given to thee, and thus more people will behold you and will want the same in their lives. Thank you for allowing us to come together for another meeting. And Father, I pray that you will help us to study these things for ourselves, that the words will not so soon slip out of memory and be snatched away, but indeed may be of benefit to each heart. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Is there anything else that you'd like to share? Any songs or requests that you'd like to sing? Anything else that you'd like to bring forth, please feel free.
I want to say good night to everyone and thank you for everybody with your testaments and everything. And I just got to go before I have something to do, documentation from my job. So good night to everyone. Love you all.
Amen, dear sister, and good night, and God bless, and we love you too. And thank you so much for being able to come in fellowship with us and for your thoughts and testimonies. Well, a scripture song comes to mind. It's 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the daughters of God. Well, dear ones, may God bless. I pray that He will continue to lead and guide you ever closer to Him and to bless you abundantly in the remaining part of this week than at the first part. And we look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon on Friday evening and on Sabbath. And so keep looking up. And keep marching forward in the grace and strength of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And this is the victory, 1 John 5:4, even our faith.